The Haunted Underpants by Dale Shaw. Underpant Buying Tuesday was by far the worst Tuesday of all the Tuesdays. Well, unless you counted extensive toilet declogging Tuesday, pointlessly hard math for no actual reason Tuesday, or very thorough mole examination Tuesday. I mean the warty kind of mole, not the small, burrowing animal. Mother had decided that all unpleasant things must take place on a Tuesday, as it was, by far, her least favourite day of the week. This all goes back to an incident in her own childhood, when she was cornered by a giraffe at a low-budget safari park, who was trying to tongue her funions. That was on a Tuesday. Black Tuesday, she called it. Or, on special occasions, Black Giraffe Tuesday.
"It's going to be an absolute disgrace anyway," Mother would wail. "So you may as well try to cram as many unpleasant things into Tuesday as possible."
While I was willing to go along with her twisted logic for the sake of a quiet life, I could never quite work out why she had to invent further hideous events to cram into my Tuesdays. I felt she enjoyed it in some way, thinking up terrible tasks to destroy all my second days of the week. Almost to the point where she now looked forward to Tuesdays. Tuesday was suddenly the best day of the week for her. Tuesday was all her Christmases and Lents rolled into one, decorated with a lovely ribbon made of delicious, colourful cheese. Because I was now miserable, and Mother liked to make me miserable, almost as much as she liked Funyuns. And so it was that Underpant Buying Tuesday was upon us. And, to add an extra layer of horrible to the whole thing, we bypassed the shiny, happy stores with names such as Wondermart and Fabuworths and headed straight to Pains? That's right, Pains had a question mark after the name. No one knew why. But if you didn't say it like the name was a question, Pains, the staff would ignore you. It added muchly to its stupidness. Pains was a terrible shop. That's not just my opinion. That's what it said outside on the sign. All the people on the tills were crying all the time. Certain departments were painfully hot to the touch, while others were covered with fog. The entire place smelled of mackerel, even though the fishmongery evaporated many years ago. It was where we always went for my underpants, on a Tuesday. Pains! Plus, we had another errand in this nasty place. Mother had to return a lettuce she had purchased there just a few days ago that had actually caught fire. It just ignited the second she placed it in the breakfast nook, leaving only a charred, leafy stump. It really was that sort of establishment.
"You go and pick out some pants,"
said Mother, while rubbing a square of kitchen towel moistened with her own spit against my cheek. This is what she thought of as parenting.
"I'll drop this off at complaints,"
she said, wiggling the blackened veg stump before me. Complaints occupied the first 7 floors of the building. Underpants were on floor 14, alongside mushrooms, wheel arches, duck food and paint. The stairs had several shifty-looking highwaymen at their entrance. This was typical of Pains. So I took the elevator, which had bats. And, rather than Muzak, the sound of asthma was broadcast. We stopped at floor 13. And, despite my button prodding, the lift refused to budge. In fact, a small panel lit up, with the words, "Get out now," pulsing in okra. I'd never been to floor 13 before, mainly because the store didn't have one. Mr. Payne of Pains was a deeply superstitious man. That's why all hats had to be cremated on entering the premises. That's why the umbrella department was constantly surrounded by a solid ring of chanting nuns. And that's why his store did not have a floor 13. Except that it appeared it did. And I was in it. And on it. It looked like any other floor of a hideous department store, except that everything felt in reverse. No, not in reverse, sort of negative. The cashiers stood on the wrong side of the tills and tried things on in the changing rooms, while the customers looked bored and told them off for having too many pairs of slacks in the cubicle. One section appeared to trade only in coat hangers. There was a line of men buying bricks that they had pulled from a slowly disintegrating outside wall. You could see a bus stop on the street through the hole they'd made. I decided to dodge this oddness and looked for the exit, so I could travel up one floor to male lingerie, fungi, specific car parts, soggy bread and emulsion. But after completing a circuit of the room, there didn't appear to be an exit. But I could see a sign that said underpants. Actually, it said under ant, as I could see some different highwaymen were haggling over the P and the S that had been taken. This additional pant annex was on a mezzanine, only reachable by one of those dangling ropes that you have in the ceiling of school gyms that are loved by sadistic gym teachers who felt that it was an important part of a child's life to shimmy up big string. Thankfully, this particular rope was only about 3 feet long. It's arguable whether rope was even needed, but as it was there, I felt I should use it. Up on the mezzanine were underpants. Or rather, underpant. Singular. There was a lone pair of undies folded over a coat hanger that was in the shape of a clown's face. I suppose it's pointless to say at this point that the clown looked disturbing, as all clowns are that way inclined. But the pants looked normal enough. They were a traditional red Y-front with tasteful white piping. They didn't strike me as exciting or desirable. But if I got these underpants, then Underpant Buying Tuesday would be over until the next Underpant Buying Tuesday. So, carefully, I dragged the pants from the mouth of the clown. An electronic, circusy giggle left its face as they were removed, which made me hop backwards quite quickly in mild disturbance. So I looked down at these pants. I thought about their purchase deeply. But then, something quite extraordinary happened. The pants winked at me.